In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Exit strategies. We hear those words and we immediately think of business executives planning to leave their jobs with great big fat golden parachutes. Or maybe we think of spies trying to leave a foreign country undetected. Or even burglars escaping the darkened home where they've just snatched the jewelry and the silver. Of course, if they came to our house, it would be mighty slim pickings, but that's okay. But there are lots of other ways that exit strategies are a part of our lives. And I think it might be fun to explore them through a couple of different stories. First story. It's the saga of a guy who I think we'll call, for the purposes of this sermon, Marco. Marco is a senior manager in a company that made high-tech widgets. And he had worked there for several years. And in the course of that, he had the idea for a new widget. Let's call it a thingamabob. And the good thing about the thingamabob was that it didn't compete with the widget because he had signed an agreement saying he wouldn't compete with the widget. Anybody who's ever done high-tech work knows what I'm talking about here. But it was in the same general area of category of product. So Marco wanted to start a company to make and sell this nifty new thingamajig. And he worked on it day and night, which meant that he did some of the work on it during the time that he was supposed to doing his work on his paying job. Now, it was a small company, so it will be no surprise to you that after a while, a couple of the employees caught on to what Marco was doing. And they confronted him and said, "Marco, are you running another business on the side?" And one of the ones who confronted him was his secretary. And when she did that, he said to her, "If you say anything about this to the big boss, I'm going to get you fired." Now, she was a single mother and really needed the job, so she kept her mouth shut. But the whole situation made her into a nervous wreck, and her work began to suffer in ways that were obvious to everyone around her. Now, there was another employee who had noticed something going on with Marco as well. He was a manager who was also on Marco's level in a slightly different area of the company. And for the sake of the story, let's call him Polo. Easy to remember. Now, Polo was really a bright guy. And when Polo confronted him, Marco said, "Yeah, it's true. I'm working on this thingamajig, and I think that there's a great market for it. Do you want to be my partner in this new venture?" And he said this not just to shut Polo up, but also because Polo had some skills that he could bring to the new company. Now, Polo had signed exactly the same sort of contract with the non-compete clause that Marco had signed. But as he looked at the thingamajig, he said, "You know, this is not a violation of the non-compete with the widget. I'm okay." But he still had sort of a funny feeling in his stomach about the way this was playing out. Marco was, after all, not being honest with his employer and was, in effect, stealing by using his work time and his work computer and the copier and stuff like that to try and jumpstart the new venture. But there was money to be made, and maybe he could do his piece of the work in his spare time. Maybe that would make it all right. At least that's what Polo said to himself. So the two of them joined forces, and they proceeded to work on this new company. Until one day, the big boss called them both in and said, "Marco? Polo? Something's up with you guys. You're not putting your best efforts into your work, and you're not making your numbers. And Marco, what the heck is wrong with your secretary? She is as nervous as a wet cat. And after hemming and hawing a bit, Marco said, "Boss, I don't know what's going on with the secretary. She's just a nervous person, I guess. But as to your other question, I've been meaning to tell you, Paula and I here, we have an idea for something. We want to go out on our own, start our own company. We've got an idea for a product. It's a thingamajig. No, it isn't a widget, so it doesn't violate the non-compete. But we want to start our company and see if we can make it go." And the big boss said, "Okay, boys, that is the way the high-tech world is these days. So just turn in your keys and you're free to go and start your new adventure." Now, you might think that Marco and Polo would be very glad to hear this. But in fact, Marco was in a panic. This was a number of years ago. There were no such things as laptops. Your computer was a great big honking thing that sat in your desk. And Marco had all of the new company files on his computer in his office. That could be a problem. Polo knew that too, so he started getting sort of squirmy and said, "Well, boss, we've got some personal files on our office computer. Okay, if we copy them to disk before we leave." And the boss just looked at them and said, "No, guys, you need to make a fresh start. We can format those disks. We won't violate your privacy. We'll reformat those disks after we escort you out the door. So just give us your keys, grab your picture of your wife and kids, and we'll call it a day and we'll wish you good luck in your new venture. Because after all, computers aren't your property, they're the company's property. You know you shouldn't have put personal stuff on them, but we'll let that slide." Perhaps the big boss had a clue about what was going on after all. Perhaps Marco and Polo weren't anywhere near as clever as they thought. And so, visibly pale, the two men went into their offices to pick up each of their framed pictures of their families and their coffee mugs and a couple of other personal mementos and left, wondering how they were going to survive without all of those computer files for the new company. But there was nothing to be done. They were escorted out of the office as the secretary breathed a sigh of relief and silently prayed that Marco's replacement would be a more honorable person than he was. Not what you'd call a good exit strategy, is it? Hiding their imminent departure, lying to the boss, to other employees, trying to start something new while still on their employer's payroll and not meeting the obligations of their jobs. Now you hear this story, and I suspect that some of you are thinking, "Oh, this is just all way too melodramatic for real life. This is like a made-for-TV drama." But in fact, it was a true story. And I was the boss who fired Marco and Polo. Now, let's contrast it with another story about exiting. Let's talk about Fred, who was a financial manager for a small nonprofit. He had worked there for 3 decades, and he was approaching retirement age. And he had a plan in mind of when he wanted to retire, but he wanted to make sure that his departure was not going to put an undue burden on this organization whose mission he held in such high regard. So he went to his boss and said, "You know, I'm thinking about retiring next year. The 401k has gone back up again. We've reclaimed some of the losses we had. It's time for me to just start to enjoy the next phase of my life. But I want to make the transition a good one for you and the organization and for me. So I'd like to lay out a plan for bringing everything up to snuff, documenting everything I've been doing, and getting the employees under me working in systematic structures that will run smoothly until my replacement is named and gets up to speed. My hope is that this kind of plan will keep our donors comfortable, the foundations who give us grants, so that they would continue to give us that money. and that it will keep the other employees in my department from jumping ship because they're worried about their future. The boss, being a wise person, and no, this one was not me, the boss said, "This sounds like a good plan. We'll miss you, but we've been expecting that you would be retiring soon. You've been a very faithful person in this organization. And this will help us transition without having to rush to hire a new person who most likely won't be up to speed immediately. Let me know what I can do to support you in this plan and to help you communicate it to the rest of the staff. And it's your call when we will let others know." That was a good exit strategy. It honored the employer. It honored Fred's fellow workers. It honored everybody who was a part of the organization and even the people who benefited from the organization. And we hear this story and we think, oh, nobody could be that good. This is a really romanticized picture of a good goodbye, isn't it? Like a Hallmark card. But in fact, it was a true story. It was precisely what a man very much like Fred did. And his employer reacted very much like Fred's boss did. The foundations that funded the nonprofit were pleased that the transition of a key employee like Fred could be handled so gracefully. And the employees were comfortable that things would continue well after their beloved Fred retired. It was a good exit strategy. Exit strategies are important because we're all going to exit someplace sometime, whether it's a job or a relationship or even this human life. And we've got a marvelous example to follow. No, not Fred, even though his is a great story. Actually, I'm talking about Jesus and the story we hear in our gospel today. If you think about it, Jesus actually began his ministry with his exit strategy already in place. He gathered the disciples around him so that they could do the work when he was gone. He trained them both by having them watch what he did and by giving them all instruction with words, didactic instruction. He sent them out to give it a try. When they came back, he debriefed them, corrected their errors, but encouraged them to try again. He knew that he would not be on earth in human form forever, so they needed to be prepared when it was time for his exit. And unlike Marco and Polo, he was clear from the get-go that at some point he would leave and they would need to take over the work. Now, I expected Fred's retirement dinner, where they gave him the set of golf clubs he'd always wanted. He got up and gave a brief and emotional speech at the end of all of the accolades. And it might have gone something like this. "It's been an honor and a privilege to work with you all. I hope that you will continue to be faithful to the mission of this organization, which has helped so many folks. Know that I leave with many happy memories and keep up the good work." I expect many of us have heard those kinds of speeches before. Is Fred's farewell speech all that different from Jesus's in today's gospel? Think about what he says. "It's almost time for me to go. Keep at the good work that we began together. Love one another and know that I will never forget what we did together. It's the way that you do the work that will mark you as one of mine, one of this great venture." Not very different. And Jesus, in his farewell speech, was able to say this with tremendous grace, with no anxiety, because he knew a secret. When you exit, it is not merely an ending, it is a beginning. Even the worst exits lead to something new. Even Marco and Polo, as they clumsily tripped across one threshold and into a new business. Fred, more graceful and grace-filled by far, shut the door of his professional life behind him and looked ahead to what a rich experience he might enjoy in retirement. In ending, there was a new beginning. And so Jesus visited with his disciples for a very brief period of time after his death, just giving them sort of a final pep talk. It was the culmination of all his work of preparing them for his departure, the final step in his exit strategy, so that he could then ascend into heaven, where he took his place at the right hand of his heavenly Father, and continues to await what is to come. The disciples felt the door closing, knew that they would no longer see him in human form, and they grieved that, but then, because he had prepared them, they went about the work they were trained to do. The exit was the beginning. I thought about this whole idea of exit strategies as I spent time with clergy colleagues in Texas, and how all the exits that I made in my life, particularly the professional ones, meant that I had learned something that would have a new life, a new beginning, when I became your priest. Without the exits, there could have been no beginning of me with you in this place, most certainly not in the form that it has become. Now, it's my expectation that, for better or for worse, I will be with you for a good long time. I'm hoping that makes you happy. I'm scanning now to see any. But so far, I'm just seeing smiles, so I guess I'm okay. But in fact, we know that one day I will leave, just as Rufus Wambo left, as Tom Clements left, as Bruce Campbell left, as Marty McCarthy and Gail Cooper left, as Keith Emerson left, as Charles Poindexter left, as Donnie Dunn left. And I think that hits all the priests that even the most senior members of this congregation had the experience of. With each of their leavings, they had prepared you for a new beginning, because that's the way of life. My prayer is that however long God plans for me to be here, my exit strategy will always be on my mind. That at that time when I depart, together we will have brought more souls to a deeper knowledge of Jesus Christ. That together we will have prepared the structures that help the church run sustainably for the future. That together we have realized our gifts and used them as leaders and as followers of Christ. And that together we have learned more deeply than ever before that the presence of God is always with us through exits and through beginnings. There's a little line from the passage from Revelation that's worth repeating as we think this way. It's an echo of a line that earlier exists in the book of Isaiah. God says, "I am making a new thing." The thing I love about it, it's the active form. I am making. At all times, in all places, I am making a new thing. Because exits are a part of life. They're a fact of life. But as Jesus showed us, they are not only an ending. They mark a new thing, a new beginning. And how can we help but rejoice in that? Amen.